Hallelujah. Let's just give honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, God. Hallelujah. And let's give honor to our pastor and our first lady this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Also, I want to give all honor to the leaders and all the MITs today. And we're going to get right into my message today. Diamond, you could give me 20 minutes. So the scripture that we were going to be going to, starting off, it will be in 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. And it's going to be in the Passion Translation. And it says, "The one who doesn't love has yet to know God, for God is love. The light of God's love shines within us when he sent his matchless son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love. He loved us long before we loved him. And it was his love, not ours. He proved it by sending his son, Jesus, to be the pleasing sacrificial offering to take away from our sins." Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor, is it okay I pray before I start? Dear Lord, I just thank you, God, for everything you're doing. I thank you, God, for this message, God. I thank you, God, it's not I that speak, but you speak through me, God. I thank you, Lord, that the anointing that is on this message, God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that this message could be life-changing to people that are babes in the faith and even older in the faith, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that the word that's being sowed today is sown on fertile ground, God. I thank you, Lord, that we have the victory over the enemy, and we bind every demonic spirit or every spirit of distraction that will come against this word in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So when we think about love, there's different types of love. So number one type of love is eros. It's in the Greek, and that is the love that you have between your husband or your wife. Of course, if you're a man, you're going to have a wife, and if you're a woman, you're going to have a husband, amen? Or someone that you have fallen someone that you have fallen in love with. And another type of love is storge, which is a devout love to your family members, such as your mom, your dad, your siblings, your cousins, or whoever that's in your family. And then you have another type of love is philia, which is a love that you have with a friend or associate. It's a warm affection. So the Greek definition of love is agape. And the definition of it is, it refers to the divine love, what God prefers. It's the God kind of love. That's the real love. Agape, surprisingly, is used in the New Testament just by itself 106 times. And that shows that it's so important, how much that is important to God. We should be walking in love, especially every single day, living it out. In the same way that God handled everyone in love, just as ourselves, that's how we should handle with everybody else among us, each other, right? And so for my first point is, in order to, before you know how to give love to other people, you have to know that God loves you. And know that for sure that nothing could change his love for you. And you have to receive it. And what I mean by receive it, make it revelatory to you. Let it be a revelation to you. God loves you so much, nothing can sever it or come between it. Jesus literally laid down his life for you and the world because he loves you. And we should be willing to do that daily on a consistent basis, communion with his love. In John chapter 16, verse 27, it says, "For the Father himself loved you because he had loved me." And this is Jesus talking. "For the Father himself loved you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God." In Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 37, through 39, it says, "For I am persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Hallelujah. So that's just a reminder that anything that you do, even if you come up short, if you sin or you have weaknesses, nothing can separate that from the love of God, because God loves you and God is not going to change his love for you. It's unconditional love. And the way that you know the absolutely truth about God's love that he has for you is through his word. And some people say, because, you know, you hear that phrase, you got to walk in the spirit, walk in the spirit. And people say, you know, how do you walk in the spirit? You walk by the word of God. The word of God is spirit. And John 6:63, it says, "It is the spirit that gives you life. The flesh profits nothing. The word that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." And so many times we're always looking in our spirit, man. I mean, our flesh. So for those that are babes and that, you know, the people that just got baptized, the flesh is like, you know how pastor would say something or preach something in the word, or you have a care group leader that tell you that you need to do this, this, and then that because the word says that. But then you feel like in yourself, like, I don't feel like doing that, or like, that's too hard. That's the flesh part of you. That's not the spirit, man. That's the flesh part of you. And so many times that we're looking at our flesh, we're looking at our flaws and our weaknesses and basically comparing it to the love of God, like, God doesn't love me because I have this going on and this weaknesses. No, but you got to look through the spirit, which is the word of God. And the word of God says that he loves you no matter what. Nothing can separate. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. He will always love you. Amen. And so many people, especially Christians, they're depressed, dealing with anxiety because they're looking at the flesh and they're looking at their weaknesses instead of looking through the spirit, which is the word of God. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verses 23, it says that the word of God is like a spiritual mirror. So whatever you see in the word of God, that's what your spirit is like. Amen. And through the spirit, it says that you are loved by God. Amen. So I encourage you, if you're struggling with knowing and believing the love of God that he has for you, I encourage you to go through scriptures that talk about God loving you. There's so many scriptures I have, especially in like the book of 1 John, because it is like almost the whole book talk about the love of God. I have it highlighted in red because, you know, red, the color red reminds me of a heart and love. So I have it all highlighted in red because I want to make sure that I believe and stay up and just a continual reminder that God loves me no matter what and no matter what circumstances. And knowing, believing God's love for you is connected in so many areas of your life. And I remember, it was about 2 years ago, I went through a major deliverance in my life, and I'm not going to get into much detail about it, but it had to do with my identity. And the devil had me in such a stronghold of something that had to do with my identity in Christ. And I remember after that deliverance, and I got free from that, all that stuff, it was 2 days later, I just started thanking God and I worshiped him. And then God has given, he gave me a vision. It was like a day vision. And I saw this hallway. It was a dark hallway. It looked like it was like a hallway of a apartment complex. But it was a dark hallway. And it looked like, it was just doors that was closed. And it looked like they were shut for a long time. They was never open. And then God started showing me in the vision, the doors start opening. And there was like bright light coming out of each door. And he was showing me that the thing, like, a part of my identity that was revealed to me, which is a part of your identity, is that you're loved by God, right? And so when I got that revealed to me, that was open to, he showed me that it was connected to every area of my life. So knowing that God loves you is connected to everything. It's connected to your faith. It's connected to what you're believing for. It's connected to your physical needs, your spiritual needs. It's connected to everything. even in the Ten Commandments, that is connected to love, knowing the love of God and loving God himself, right? And loving other people, it's all connected. And you don't need God to rain or shower it on you. He's already given it to you. You already received it when you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right? According to Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, love, love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such, there is no law. So, and I don't think it's a coincidence that love is the number one in the fruit of the Spirit. Because it's so important. You have to have love first. And then when you have love first, then you have joy. Then you have peace. And then you have long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? So, it's so important that you know that God loves you no matter what. And number two, once you have received and that became relevant towards you, like, yes, I know that God loves me, then you have to give it to others. Not only to the world, but to the body of Christ, a.k.a. your brothers and sisters in Christ. In Ephesians 4:16 and verse 31, from the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share and causes growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. Then going down to verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another and tenderhearted and forgiving one another, even as God has forgiven you. And so when it comes to our brothers and sisters in Christ, that if anything, because everybody has their own personal issues and all that stuff, and things can slip up, always be forgiving quickly. Always be forgiving quickly. Do not let it stay in your heart, because really, if you let it stay in your heart so long, it's really sickening to your heart, and then it also go into your immune system, and then you start to get sick. And I remember hearing testimonies of people that have held stuff for you, even someone in our family. Like right now, he have held bitterness to certain people in our family, and he don't, like, and no wonder why he keep going, having to go into the hospital, because he holds such strong grudges. And there's people in the body of Christ that hold strong grudges against people when you need to stop. And if you're having unforgiveness towards somebody and you're holding a grudge against somebody because of what they did in the past, you need to stop it right now. Because how are you going to get to heaven? How are you going to get to heaven if you do not forgive? The Bible says, Jesus said it himself, if you do not forgive others, God will not forgive you. It's so important that you have to forgive. And I know you have to be perfecting it. I'm even working at it. And to the moment, like, I want to get to that point, like, right when that person does it, at the snap of it, I was like, I forgive, right? Also, no backbiting, no gossiping about your brothers and sisters. That is not walking in the love of Christ. You didn't see Jesus do it, you shouldn't be doing it either. Do not, and also, do not talk out that fault that somebody did. Don't talk about it. If you need to say something to that person. You go to them about that issue, and you go to them privately. You do not do it publicly. Go to them privately, just as Matthew 18 states. You go to them privately, but then if they still don't listen, then you bring witnesses. And if they still don't listen, then you bring the church, right? And so it's so important to keep your issues at bay and just always forgive, right? And do it the proper way according to the Bible. Also, practice walking in love. It's so important for you to do that, to practice walking in love. Even, you know, when you pass by somebody that has done something, you say, you know I love you. You know I love you, such a sister so-and-so. You know, brother so-and-so, I really love you. I really love you. And even you can say, I forgive you. I remember Ken Copeland, he was talking about this, how Gloria, there was one time they got in an argument. And he was, you know, sitting in the chair one day in the living room. And Sister Gloria, his wife, put her hand in the back of her head and said, I have found no fault with you. I was like, wow. And you're going to have to do that at some point. At that moment, if someone did something, it's like, I have found no fault with you. I forgive you. I love you, right? Even basking in worship towards the Lord, say, God, I love you. God, I love you. God, I love such and such soul. Oh, God, I love them, God. I love them, God. I forgive them. That's what you need to be doing. Also, speaking in tongues, it really do help. Especially if someone just did something blatantly wrong, like, oh, rababare kerero shoko rababare, I walk in love right now. Oh, God, I forgive him. Ororo shekerero so I stir up the love of God. Ororo shekerero bababare kerero shek. Oh, God, I forgive them, God. Oh, God, I love them, God. Oh, God, I bless your name, God. Hallelujah, right? And so that's so very important. Even giving to those that hurt you, the Bible talks about that. I remember it was actually mentioned through Pastor on the Thursday prayer call. I went through something a couple months ago with this guy. He's way older than me. He's in his 30s. And he never liked me. I don't know why. I never did anything to him. And he was just doing a lot of stuff. He did a lot of accusations, dragging my name through the dirt. And I remember God told me to give him a gift card with a certain amount of money. And tell you, if it was up to me, I would have gave him $15, $20. But the Lord, he told me, no, I want you to give such and so. And that's like, I never given that amount to somebody that doesn't like me, right? But I gave it to him. And also, it's not really for God, it's for you. It helps you to forgive quickly. It helps your heart. It heals whatever that's going on the inside. And also, the Bible says when you overcome evil with good, it's like heaping hot coals on the back of their head. And so I remember when I did that, he would just act like his eyes was all watery. He looked like he was about to cry. Oh, I don't know why you did this to me. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But heaping hot coals on the back of his head, right? But we don't do that just because to make them feel bad. We do it for ourselves, right? And the last one, you got to fight with the love of God. And so knowing that God loves you and is not willing to condemn you, you could confidently stand up against Satan. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on to eternal life, in which you were also called, and have a good, confess the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers in the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places. So, you know, we have a devil. He hates us. And one of the things that is so important to God, which is walking in love, you know, he's going to use that against us as well. He don't want us to walk in love towards our brothers and sisters. He wants us to walk in unforgiveness and bitterness and vengefulness and all those things. And that's why we have to rebuke the devil. The spirit, offense is a spirit. Unforgiveness is a spirit that comes from the devil. And so that's why you have to take authority. And you know, it can happen at times when you're at work, you thought that you were forgiving that person, then something come in your head. I still can't believe that she did this, did and that. I can't believe he did this, and that. And I can't understand. That's what the devil's going to say. But then right at that moment, you say, no, I bind the spirit in the name of Jesus. I forgive that person. I love that person in the name of Jesus. And you may not understand. Like, even, like, you be agitated all day, but you don't know why. But when you woke up this morning, the devil input a thought in your head that someone did this, and that the other day. But no, you got to command the devil to stop at that very moment. You do not command the devil in your head. You got to say it out loud. No, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. I forgive them. I do not take offense. The Bible says, do not take offense, nor the Jews, the Gentiles, or my church or live in Christ, which is my brothers and sisters in Christ. So you got to take authority over it, because that spirit is coming after Christians very strong. And And the devil, he wants us to be divided. He wants us to get off course. He don't want us to be on one accord. He's going to try to divide the church the best way he can. And that's why you hear so many things happening in the church all over the world. You know, you hear pastors doing this and that. And then you hear members there. They're not on one accord and all those things. And that is so important. We have to be on one accord and not let the devil get in the way. Because the devil is a part of the confusion. The devil is a part of the strife. And the devil is a part of unforgiveness. And we cannot take part in it. We can't. We just can't. Because that's not the will of God for our life. So the 3 points is receive it, give it, and fight with it. Amen. My last scripture is 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. It says, love that has been made perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So as we continue to walk in this world with love and compassion towards people, no matter what they have done or what they have said to us, we are living just like Jesus. We're supposed to be just like Jesus, and that's how Jesus was. He was serving to people. He served people with gladness and love and compassion. Amen. Hallelujah.
So, maybe people need to forgive people? Yeah. So, me and mom was sitting there talking. I said, I think this is the message for this morning. Yeah. Yeah. Go back to two or three scriptures ago, that one in Ephesians, I think it was talking about with all malice, that all bitterness, all that. I'm going to tell you, what was that scripture that you were, 431? Ephesians 431? Yeah, that's it. And I tell you, me and my wife, we've been really dealing with this area of forgiveness. And I want to challenge you this morning. You know, if I'd have been preaching, I probably wouldn't have brought that message. I think that's why God sent my daughter. You know, everybody has a different gift to the body of Christ. And sometimes we don't need to be hooped up. Sometimes we don't need to be hyped up. Sometimes we need to be sobered up. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, clamor, evil speaking, put away from you with all malice. And y'all, there are people in this room, I know it. You see a lot on the internet, YouTube, about witchcraft. How do you know you're under witchcraft or spell and this and that? Can I give you a witch's secret? Because I've dealt with a lot of witches. We've had victory with dealing with people that deal with witchcraft. The number one thing they do is do something unforgivable to you. Because if they can get you to walk in unforgiveness, every spell they cast, every incantation they say against you will work. That's their trick. You gotta walk in forgiveness. And you know, she didn't tell you the whole story like I can tell it. But she had been inviting a lot of her fellow classmates to church. They were getting saved. They were hearing the message. And I mean, you know, however you look at it, 30-year-old man, gay man, he was gay. And he didn't like that she was having influence on some of the other students. So he just started making up lies about her to the other students so that they would stay away from her. And she noticed people started acting funny. People that was coming to church said, well, what's wrong with you? But so-and-so told me that you told him. She said, I ain't talked to that dude. Why would I tell him something like that? Just lies. This is what witchcraft does. And we know gay guys, they deal with all of that, you know. And she came and talked to her mom. She talked to us about it. Her mom said, walk in love. And she went and bought that gift card. And she said, that dude started crying. He apologized. Somebody say amen. Why? Why did you do this? Because it broke the witchcraft. Somebody say amen. Some of y'all got witchcraft working in your life right now. You can't get ahead. Every time you almost, like, y'all remember Good Times? The whole thing about this show, they almost, every time they almost got out the ghetto, they were under a curse. Y'all remember with Thelma Mary Keith? Man, that dude played in the NFL. He was finna make a $1 million contract. And all of a sudden, JJ had to get a picture. And he broke it. Now we back in the hood. Y'all, some of y'all's life like that. Right, every time you almost get there, something pulls you back. Y'all, that's witchcraft. And I'm going to tell you, y'all, more people are against you than you believe. There are more witches around you than you believe. There are more people speaking against you than you know. And the only way they got power over you is if you don't walk in love. That's the only power the devil has. So if you're holding unforgiveness against somebody, then the Bible says God won't forgive you. The devil knows if you're in unforgiveness because he has open reign in your life. And y'all, there have been some horrible things done to people in this room. I know. I've had horrible things done to me. The root word of malice, what do y'all think that is? Anybody know? Huh? What's the root word of malice? Let me tell you. I looked it up. The Lord told me, then I looked it up. It's malignant. It's malignant. Does that word bring to mind another word? What? Cancer. A lot of people walk around with cancer because they got unforgiveness and they got malice toward other people. It's called hatred. And I've ministered to a lot of people with cancer. And y'all on a dying bed, they would not forgive somebody. And they died. They refused to forgive them. And I say, man, if you just forgive them, man, God will heal you. Wouldn't let it go. I never let it go. And they didn't. And they died. I want you to search your heart today. Oh, God. This is so good. That was so good. I want you to search your heart. I know I'm talking to some people in here. You keep trying and trying. You keep trying and trying. You keep trying and trying. Brother Malvo, that's remember I told you about that? That's where she got it from. We teach that. We live that. I've sent people hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars that hated me. I didn't do it for them. I did it for me. Can you do that? Your enemy, can you bless him? That's what Jesus told us to do. If you can bless your enemy, you've forgiven them. Come here, Alondra. Can I tell you a story? Sister Alondra here, this is so funny. And then we're going to do an altar call. Who say I got a problem with some of this? Let me see here. Who say I'm a liar in church? Let me see your hand. There's lies in here. Anybody in here dealing with some unforgiveness? Okay. And there's more people on this side. All y'all are liars over here. Let me tell you how this works. got the attention, Alfonso. I got the attention. They listening. Come on over here. So Landria, oh my God. Landria was in my wedding. Her ex-husband was in my wedding. And she got married after we got married. Brought this man to her home church, which happened to be my wife's home church. Her daddy pastors that church. He came, got with a girl, another woman, in the church that she brought him to. Thing that she wanted more than anything was to have a child. He wouldn't give her a child, but got the other girl at the church that she brought him to, got her pregnant. It got so crazy that the girl that he got pregnant was walking around telling everybody that her husband was her husband. Oh, God. And during this time, God was using me and my wife to mentor her and stuff. And man, it was tearing up. Hair was falling out. Having health problems. Could have had a nervous breakdown, but she had the Holy Ghost. But we knew when we came back from Charlotte, we said, Lynn, you're not right. Something ain't right. So I started working in the school district I worked before, and we left and did ministry in Charlotte. Came back, they rehired me. So then I started working around the girl that had the baby by her husband. She was still married to him, wanted to take him back, everything. And she started telling everybody her husband was her husband, just being egregious. So I remember one day, and this word is a hard word, it's not easy. I know it's hard. Especially for y'all over here at this line. I remember this like yesterday. We were standing in Zoe's parking lot. And she was like, well, what should I do? I said, Lungie. So she kept seeing her in the stores. Say, every time I see her, my heart jump. Every time I see her, it's like something warm me, I'm going to see her, then my heart jump. Then I just, I said, me, you haven't forgiven her. I said, this is what you do. I said, you pray about an amount. You find an amount of money, and you give it to her. Now, she's so sweet. But, y'all, that day, she put her car in drive and sped off. Didn't even say nothing to me. Do you remember this?
I do.
That's how some of y'all feeling right now. I know it. Ain't no way in the world I'm forgiving them. Me and my wife kept working with her. So eventually she said, I'm going to do it. You know, we got a book. Oh, this is so good. This is so good. How to forgive anybody of anything at any time. It tell you exactly what to do. Who said I need this book? I ain't giving you nothing else. You buy it. The lady that we gave $1,300 to. Here you go. Pass it back to her. You're welcome. So the same principles in that book, we taught her. So finally, so first of all, the Bible tells you, Jesus said, love your enemies. And he tells you three things to do. Number one, pray for them. Pray for them? Pray to God kill them? No. Pray for them. First thing it says is bless them. Do you know what bless means? Speak well of and speak well to. Pray for them and then do good to them. That's where the money comes in. Do good. So finally, she was willing to do good. The girl had gotten a teacher of the year at the school or something. And then what happened?
So I was asking the Lord, how could I do it?
without just sending this unmarked money. So she just happened to be Teacher of the Year. So I took that opportunity to, within the school district, you'd enter office mail because she worked at another school across the way. And I was trying to get it there before spring break, I think it was. And I missed the mail, so I had to drive it to her campus. And school was almost closing. I was a mess. I was trying to get it done. And I gave it to a lady in the office, and she got it. And after spring break, I felt a release when I did it. And I cried all the way home. I did. I was a mix of emotions. It was 50 then. Yeah, this was 15 years ago. And yes. And so I got an email from her, in her office email.
The woman that had a baby by your husband was telling everybody your husband was home.
And she said, she used a scripture that said I was evil. Thank you for the gift card. I wound up giving her a $50 Walmart gift card. That's what I gave her. And she said, thank you for the gift card, but you're evil, whatever, whatever. So I immediately called Pastor. And
all right. Now, what do you do then, sir? You gave the girl the card. She called you the witch, and you the one that's evil. But you say you felt a release. Let me tell you what happens. That's when God gets in it. So I have an apostolic anointing. This truly happened. She knows and she knows. They both know this happened. Listen to what happened. So we got ready to go to, you have a seat. We got ready to go to New York. It's Pat. Where's Pat? Pat was bringing us to do a conference in New York. He was living in New York at the time. We was going to do the Wayne Dayton Main Conference. And the ex-husband had lied to her. The ex-husband had lied to her and told her he was not with the girl no more and all of this here. So I was working summer school. We didn't work summer school. The girl done hired her husband. He don't even work for no school district. Hired the husband to work summer school. So he was lying. I told Linda when we was on the plane, on the train, I said, hey, your husband, boom, 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 boom. But this is what I told them. And I tried to talk to them. They wouldn't listen. The husband in the other world. I said, they got 1 year to repent. 1 year. Y'all, do you know the year to the date I said that? And that girl was healthy. The year to the date I said that, that woman, the side piece, she fell dead of cancer. That happened. Did that happen? Did that happen? So see, when you do right and people still do wrong, God still got you. Somebody say amen. You do right though. So what you got to do? F word. Forgive. You got to do it. Every head bowed, every eye closed.